We're doing the laws of Shabbos, and last week we really went over. We had a review of the laws of Muktzeh. This week we'll try to bring ourselves completely up to date as to what we've learned in the laws of Muktzeh. We had discussed the idea of Basis LeDavar HaAsur, that when we have something that plays a supportive role, it could be your laptop bag, it could be the tray that holds the candlesticks, it could be your wallet. It's playing a supportive role to something that's muktzeh. So your laptop bag holds your laptop, your wallet holds your money, the tray holds the candles, and the candles are muktzeh. So when something plays a supportive role to something that's muktzeh, so then we say that item itself became muktzeh. So the wallet is muktzeh, not only because it's used for money. Maybe you use your wallet also for a venture, but your wallet is basis ledavar asur. It's playing a supportive role for the money that's in it. So even if your child were to empty out your wallet of its money on Shabbat, the wallet is still muktzeh. Even if your child were to take out the laptop from the laptop bag on Shabbat, the laptop bag is still muktzeh. What happens if you have a desk? You want to take that desk and use it somewhere else. You want to learn out on your porch. So the desk has a drawer. And inside the drawer, you have money. Inside the drawer, you have items that are muktzeh. So when an instrument, like a desk, when we have an item that's composed of two parts, which really each one is used separately. You use the drawer as a drawer, you use the desk as a desk. So then, just because you wouldn't be able to move the drawer on Shabbat, because everything in the drawer is muktzeh, doesn't make it that you cannot move the desk with the drawer in it. Because the desk is the main thing. The drawer is an added usage that's less important than the desk. You're going to move the drawer with the desk, right? It moves. But the desk did not become muktzeh just because there's money in the drawer. let's take this another step. You have money in your pocket. So you want to wear your pants, you want to wear your suit, and suddenly you discover there's money in the pocket. So first of all, we should try and check our clothing before Shabbat, empty the clothing of the muktzeh. Ordinarily, if I have money in a pocket, so now I can't stick my hand into the pocket. But did the whole garment become a basis ledavar asur? Did my garment now become muktzeh for Shabbos? So no, the garment did not become muktzeh because I use the garment to wear. And I don't wear pants in order to have a pocket. I wear pants because I got to wear pants. Then I also have a pocket. I don't wear a shirt in order to have a pocket. I need to wear a shirt. I use the shirt to clothe myself. There's also a pocket. So the pocket is secondary to the usage of the shirt. So just because the pocket has something muktzeh in it, won't make the shirt muktzeh, because my prime usage is the shirt, and that's not muktzeh. Now, this is provided that the pocket is like a pant pocket, where it's not really the shirt itself. Meaning, when do I view a pocket as something separately? That's when, like in the pants, you have the cloth of the pants, and then you have another cloth that's sewn into it. So that this is not the pants pocket. This is a pocket that was sewn into the pants, right? So it's something separate from the pants. What would happen if you have pockets like in jeans, where really most of the pocket is the cloth itself, or my shirt pocket, where part of the pocket is my shirt, and basically you just sewed on another piece of cloth to create the pocket, but really the pocket is the shirt, meaning the shirt is a large part of the pocket. Yes, just like in jeans, they add a piece of cloth and half the pocket is the jeans pants. So there, the shirt is also a pocket. It's not two separate things. The reason we were able to say that the shirt is not secondary to the pocket, or the pants are not secondary to the pocket, or the table is not secondary to the drawer, is because I have two separate things here. And the two are fused together, but one is the pocket, another is the shirt. Or one is the pocket, another is the pants. But when the pants are the pocket, so then the pants do become muktzeh, if I leave money there. Now, in order for something to become basis de devar ha'asur, it must be that you left it there with intent. If you forgot the money in your pants, so then we say in general, things do not become a basis de devar ha'asur unless you left it there with intent. You leave your laptop in the laptop bag intentionally. So your laptop bag becomes a basis de devar ha'asur. You leave your money in your wallet intentionally going into Shabbos. So the money becomes a basis de devar ha'asur. You leave your cell phone inside the cell phone case, the protective case, on purpose. So the case becomes a basis de devar ha'asur. What would happen if on Shabbos your three-year-old figures out how to take the cell phone out of the case? So now is the case still muktzeh? The answer is yes. The case plays a supportive role to the cell phone, and it's there intentionally. You want the cell phone there going into Shabbos. Now the cell phone case is muktzeh, because that's what you wanted. But when you have money in your pocket going into Shabbos, almost always, you did not mean for that money to stay there. Sometimes you do. Sometimes you take off your pants and you figure, I'm not wearing those, I'm wearing my suit for Shabbos. And you intentionally leave your money in the pocket and your wallet in the pocket, and your intention is, I'll have it there Sunday. In that case, if let's say over Shabbos your suit got stained, and you wanted to wear those pants suddenly on Shabbos, you would not be able to empty out those pants of the money. Because then the pants became a basis de devar ha'asur. You intentionally left money there. You intentionally had it there. Ordinarily what happens is you show up to shul Friday night or Shabbos morning, and suddenly you discover, hey, I was at a wedding this week and I left the change in my pocket. I left some money in my pocket. I didn't know this was there. So then you had no intent. When you have no intent, so it doesn't become a basis, the devar ha'asur. And then, even if it were a jeans pocket, even if it were a shirt pocket, even if it were a pocket that were really a part of the garment, it does not become a basis, the devar ha'asur. Yes? I can't hear. Right?
But at that moment, I was surprised, and I took the phone in my pocket and I put it inside in the street. What was the right thing to do then?
Was it better to go back home to take off the pants and to shake it out?
Should shake it out without in the street. Ideally, you should shake it out without touching the muktzeh directly. We're not supposed to take the muktzeh directly. So I'm not, just because I don't want the muktzeh there, so even my muktzeh is a kli shemnachto liisur, it's a pen, it's a pencil, it's an item that's used for a prohibited thing, but it is a kli. So then when I need mekomo or gufo, I need to sit down here, there's a pen on my seat. I'm allowed to pick up that pen and move it. But when my muktzeh is something that's not a kli, what we call muktzeh mechamat gufo, so it's money, it's rocks, it's a muktzeh that's not a vessel. So then, even where I'm allowed to move it, such as I want it out of the pocket so that I can wear the garment, I shouldn't touch it directly. I should do what's called niur, shake it out. So I would pull out the pocket, right, slowly, and shake it so that the items, the money falls down. But to handle money directly, that I'm not supposed to do. Even when I'm allowed to, we're still going to discuss it a little bit more detail, but in general, even when I'm allowed to move a rock or money, something that's not a kli, in general, I don't move it with my hands directly. We'll see there's an exception where there's safety. The Gemara discusses, you find a thorn bush, you find a sharp thorn, a sharp shard of glass in public domain where people could get hurt. So there, Chazal were more lenient. But when it's just an issue that I have money in my pocket, Chazal didn't want me to touch the money directly. It's still mukta. Good morning, Mr. Sensen. So, there can be instances where we would rely on the opinion that if the pocket is a separate entity, so then it's not a basis, and then you would be able to go to a place where you could put it down. But again, you'd need that. You'd need more to it, meaning it's a good question. Yes. No? Okay. Let's say you had a laptop bag, and inside your laptop bag you have, let's say you have your knapsack, okay? You come home from school, you have your knapsack. Inside the knapsack, you have blank pieces of paper. So the blank pieces of paper are muktzah. What can you do with them? All you can do is write on them, right? So it's something that's used for a prohibited action. There's nothing. So it's muktzah. So now your knapsack, your bag, is a basis. It's there to support, to use, to house your blank pieces of paper. So it's a basis, the davar asur. You left it there with the intention it should be there all Shabbos. So again, it's a basisa devar asur. All the quantifying factors are there. But inside your knapsack, you also have your siddur, you also have your talis, you have other items that you use on Shabbos. So now the knapsack or the bag became a basisa devar asur umutar, because it's supporting both. So I'd be allowed to move it. Right? So far, so good. Now, Shabbos morning, you go to shul, so you take out your talis and you take out your siddur. So Shabbos morning, the bag became only a basis of devar asur. Meaning when Shabbos came in, this bag was basis of devar asur umutar. I had both in it. But in the middle of Shabbos, I removed the permissible items from it. And now, in the middle of Shabbos, suddenly my laptop bag is only a basis of devar asur. So we do have this concept, even though we say generally basis de devar asur has to happen when Shabbos comes in, that's the great concept of basis de devar asur. There we say it's prohibited all of Shabbos, meaning if all I had was a loose leaf or a knapsack and it has blank pieces of paper, that's a basis of the varasur. I meant for it to be there. I put it there intentionally. So now all of Shabbos, it's mukta, finished. But here I have a situation where something can become a basis ledavar asur on Shabbos itself, meaning when Shabbos came in, it was fine, because it was a basis for both. In the middle of Shabbos, I ran into a problem. This comes up sometimes. People will prepare before Shabbos, they'll have their tray for their candlesticks, and then they want to move that tray off the Shabbos table and they want to clear it off. So on the tray, they put a challah, or they put a bencher together with the candlesticks. So they put it there. And then someone doesn't realize that's what they were doing. And it comes time for benching. They take off the bencher to bench. So now they have the tray for the candlesticks together with the candlesticks. It just became, now in the middle of Shabbos, it became a basis de devar asur. Yeah? So this happens. So everyone jumps. Ah! Okay. So over here, so long as the muktzah is on it, it's a basis ledavar asur. I would not be able to move it now. If, let's say, what was on it is a kli shimnachto leisur, if, let's say, you have a glasses case, you keep your glasses there, but together with your glasses, you also keep a little screwdriver that you use to fix your glasses. So you have a glasses case, it has your glasses and the screwdriver. Now you take out your glasses and you wear them. Now the glasses case just became a basis to the varasu. I can't, how am I going to move the glasses case? Now I have a problem. The glasses case is there now with only the screwdriver. So if I could find a way of getting the screwdriver out, For example, I need to, if I need to, let's say I need to open a lock and I can't find the key right now. So I could use that screwdriver to open the lock. Sometimes you have these little locks that kids have that all you need is to put something thin inside, you turn it and it opens. There's no real key. But you don't have something thin. So now you need to use that screwdriver, kli shimnachto leisur, for a permissible act on Shabbos. Right? So I'm allowed to use a screwdriver for permissible things on Shabbos. A screwdriver is kli shimnachto leisur. It's an instrument used for prohibited action on Shabbos. If I have a permissible action I want to do with that, I need to use it to peel a pumela. I have a pumela, I can't get my nails into it, I can't open, I can't start the pumela. So I'm looking for something sharp. I'm out in the middle of shul, they just served the pumela at Kiddush and all the plastic knives are breaking on it. How do I open it? I'll take that screwdriver and open it. So I'm allowed to use a kli shimnachto leisur for permissible action. So I take out the screwdriver to start peeling the pumela. Now, I tell myself, I'm not going to put that screwdriver back in the glasses case. So I go and I put it on a shelf. I'll pick it up after Shabbos. Now my glasses case just became mutter again. On a classical basis de davar asur, your laptop bag, even if somehow the laptop got out of the bag, your wallet, even if somehow the money got out of the wallet, being that when Shabbos came in, you wanted it there with only the mukta item throughout Shabbos, even if the mukta item comes out of it, it's mukta for all of Shabbos. A classical basis ledavar asur remains mukta, even if the mukta item left it. But on something that was not a basis ledavar asur, it became a basis on Shabbos. Your two-year-old took their noisy car that's mukta, and you said, Shabbos! And he says, oh! And he puts it down on your suit. Oh, wait, now what? So, first of all, kids can't make your items a basis ledavar asur. But in our case, where your glasses case was not a basis de davar asur, it had your glasses and the screwdriver in it. So it was a basis de davar asur mutar. In the middle of Shabbos, you took out your glasses. Your bag, In the middle of Shabbos, you took out the sitter and the talis. Now the bag remains with blank pieces of paper. Now the bag became a basisa devar asur. In the middle of Shabbos, under those circumstances, once the muktzah can be removed, so then the item again returns to being non-muktzah. Because it became a basis in the middle of Shabbos, so then we have this leniency that it can become, just like it can become prohibited on Shabbos, it can become again permissible on Shabbos. Yes? Yeah.
Did you just say that toys for children are mukta?
There can be toys that are mukta. Noisy toys, electronic toys. There are toys that would be mukta. If you have a rattle, at any time you move it, it makes noise, that's mukta. If you have children have toys that once you start moving it, the lights go on, the noise goes on, so that's mukta. Ordinarily, children toys are not mukta, right?
For the children or also for adults? When adults playing with the toys and the kids?
I didn't hear you. Okay. So... another thing you could do is shift your glasses case and have the muktzah roll out. Meaning just like we can take our pants and shake out the money, when something becomes a basis in the middle of Shabbos, then I can shake it and get the muktzah to roll off. And then I'm allowed to move it. What happens if I can't do that? So then I'm allowed to put in my glasses back into the glasses case. Let's say the screwdriver is attached. It has this little clip, it's attached to the glasses case. I can't shake it out. So I'm allowed to put back my glasses into the glasses case. And then the glasses case again becomes a basisa devar asur umutar. And then I'm allowed to move it. So you come to shul, and you have a bag, and inside your bag you have your sitter and your talis and the sefer you're learning and a few blank pieces of paper that you write notes on, and your pen. And you take out your sitter, you take out your talis, you take out your sefer, and then you look back at the bag. What's in the bag? A pen and a bunch of blank pieces of paper. Oh no, my bag just became a basisa devar asur. That's okay. After davening, I'll put back my talis, I'll put back my sitter, and then it will become again a basisa devar asur umutar. Again, it would be preferable to shake it out somewhere. If I can't shake it out, then I'm allowed to put the items back in, and it again becomes a basis, the davar asur umutar. Okay. I think we will have to pick up next week. Okay.